Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Talks Between Ram, the Lord and Ramananda Rai, text number 58. Vanashrama Vacharvata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Rara Dite Panta Nanyatattu Shakaranam Vanashrama Vacharvata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Rara Dite Panta Nanyatattu Shakaranam Vanashrama Vacharvata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Rarajate Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam Vanashrama Vacharvata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Rarajite Panta Nanyatato Sakaranam Vanashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Rarajite Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam. Ladies, Vanashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Rarajite Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam Vanashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnararajite Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam Vanashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Rarajite Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam Vanashrama Charavata. Who behaves according to the system of four divisions and social order and four divisions of spiritual life. Purushena, by a man. Paraha, the supreme. Puman, person. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. Aradyate, is worshipped. Panta, way.
Way.
Na,
na,
not.
Na.
Anyat,
anyat,
another.
Another.
Tatoshakaranam.
Cause of satisfying the Lord.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four Varnas and Ashrams. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 389. As stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya, the purport is that one can realize life's perfection simply by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Atta pumbhya dvijasrista vanashrama vivagasaha svanusitasya dhamasya samsidhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties or dharma according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the Lord Hari. Every man should perform his occupational duty in the light of his particular tendency. According to his abilities, one should accept the position of the Varnashram institution. The divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra are natural divisions within society. Indeed, everyone has a prescribed duty according to the Varnashram Dharma. Those who properly execute their prescribed duties live peacefully and are not disturbed by material conditions. The spiritual orders, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, are called ashrams. If one executes his prescribed duty, both in the social and spiritual order, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied. If one neglects his duties, however, he becomes a transgressor and a candidate for a hellish condition. Actually, we see that the different people are engaged in different ways. Therefore, there must be divisions according to work. To attain perfection, one must make devotional service the center of life. In this way, one can awaken his natural instincts by work, association, and education. One should accept the Varnashram divisions by qualification, not by birth. Unless this system is introduced, human activities cannot be systematically executed. The Brahmins are the intellectuals who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are always engaged in the cultivation of knowledge. Doesn't matter whether one is born in India or outside India. Those who are naturally very heroic and who tend to rule over others are called Kshatriyas. Those who tend to produce food by agricultural methods, protect cows and other animals, are engaged in trade, are called Vaishyas or merchants. Those who are not sufficiently intelligent to be Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas are required to serve a master and are called Sudras. Thus, everyone can engage in the service of the Lord and Krishna consciousness. If a society does not function according to such natural divisions, the social orders become degraded. The conclusion is that the scientific method of Varnashram Dharma should be adopted by society. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyanandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Yamanush, can I get some water? Thank you. Madan Mohan told me when he looked this verse up to put it on the board, there was 115 hits on the Veda base, which means it's a verse that Srila Prabhupada often quoted. That's a lot of hits in that. And indeed, what we're seeing here, last week, Sesha Prabhu gave class, and the conversation was that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy to cite a verse from the revealed scriptures revealing the goal of life. This is that verse that Ramananda Roy started with. It's spoken by Parasara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, in the Vishnu Purana. It's quoted. And the idea is that conditioned souls, all conditioned souls, as we'll hear later from the Bhagavad Gita, are covered by the modes of material nature by a false ego, and thus the natural, spiritual, free, eternal living entity has become snuffed, covered, and to the point where we don't really know who that eternal living entity is, who we are eternally. We've lost that, or it hasn't been awakened, it's not awake. We're in ignorance of that personality. But yet the impulses of the spirit soul remain active because that's its nature. And it remains active, pushing its way through the material ingredients and modes of nature and exhibiting itself in numerous ways. An example would be like a painter has a palette. You remember that they used to have these wooden palettes with different colors. And an artist would take the different colors and mix them together to come up with a different color and then paint the painting. So in the same way, there's goodness, passion, and ignorance, three modes of material nature, and each one of them have their basic qualities. When I was printing books, I remember when the BBT in Mayapur, Sangata Kaur, first put together their program, I think that was his name. We went and were printing a book called Siksha Diksha. And it was the first time I'd ever seen the details of how they print. And if you ever get like something that's been printed in multicolors, sometimes there's little patch of the product where you can see the basic colors. They're cyan, magenta, and yellow. It's like a red, a blue, and a yellow. It's not really red and it's not really blue. It's called cyan and magenta. And what happens is that according to the image that you want on the paper, the just like your ink printer sprays the inks in various colors onto the page to make a variety of colors. So in the same way, the modes of material nature mix with the ingredients of material nature, earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, and false ego, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and all that soup, that palette of the Lord's design, manifests itself in innumerable, 8,400,000 categories of bodies, species, but in actuality there are unlimited different types. Even within each category there are subdivisions. For example, a lot of people have had their astrological chart done. What happens is that in the science of astrology, Jyotirshastra, is such that at the time of birth, on a particular planet, the astrologer calculates the longitude and latitude and the exact position of where you're standing on the horizon at that moment, and then calculates where the stars are in the sky at that time. And there's an energy which exists at every moment which changes. Bhagavad Gita also says that there's constant competition for supremacy between the different modes of nature. In other words, nothing remains the same at all, ever. It's endlessly mutable. It's always moving, it's always changing, it's always transforming. And thus, every moment is different than the one prior to it. And the energy, as the balls in the universe, the spheres, the planets, rotate in their various orbits, they're creating energy and manifesting a particular design of that modes of nature and ingredients at every moment, and the astrologer picks that out and can actually calculate the type of person we have. So let's hear from Bhagavad Gita some different information that Sri Krishna is giving to Arjuna about how these modes of nature and how the ingredients affect the free and eternal spirit soul. Text 3.5. All men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Every living being forced to act helplessly according to the modes of material nature. So, what Ramananda Rai is presenting, it's an interesting concept also. Here we have a person who we know from later in the story is a super duper exalted personality and devotee. He's going to be known to bathe the Devadasis at the Jagannath temple and have them recite his play that was written about the exalted separation and love affairs between Radha and Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya has just met him and is asking him, what is the goal of life? And he didn't immediately say to enter into love and separation in feelings of divine ecstasy in Prema Vilasi Vivarta, as I've written in my book. Let me tell you about it. No. What he's done is he's actually started at the beginning. Say, for example, they tried to start the building, the Empire State Building, at the top. That wouldn't work, would it? How could they get up there, and what would happen if they built? There's no foundation. So, in understanding this Ramananda Samvada, this conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai, from now on, this is the basis, this is the foundation, this is the main verse which explains and manifests itself as like the thread throughout the entire conversation. And if we understand that, and we see it from that point of view, then it's very easy to understand why Lord Chaitanya in his next verse will say, this is external, please go on to the next. But the basic foundation is this concept, that there are modes of nature, everyone is under them, but it doesn't exclude anyone. But he's starting at the beginning, and therefore he's simply saying, everybody is a unique individual. Everybody has individual tendencies, likes and dislikes, inspirations, natures. Some are quiet, some are kind of a nice example. Tomorrow is also Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day, along with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Gadadhar Pandit, in the ultimate end of things, is Srimati Radharani coming to earth to assist Krishna, who is trying to understand her mood. But Krishna has stolen her mood. So therefore, she doesn't exhibit this left-wing mood. She exhibits a very right-wing mood. Gadadhar Pandit was a very peaceful, almost passive, quietly natured person. We all know people like that. He was very... Lord Chaitanya was not. Lord Chaitanya was playful. He was argumentative. He loved to cut jokes and have little arguments and fights with people. Suklambar Brahmacharya, how he used to steal banana leaves, or he would go into the Ganges and disturb the Brahmins while they were saying their Gayatri. And sometimes Gadadhar Pandit would, his nature was completely different. He would almost stay away from Nimai, that this person's too rambunctious. It's not my nature. So there's different types of people, and everyone is forced to act helplessly. The next few verses are interesting also. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but whose mind dwells on the sense object, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. On the other hand, he who controls the senses by the mind and engages his active organs in works of devotion without attachment is by far superior. Thus, perform your prescribed duty, for action is better than inaction. A man cannot even maintain his physical body without work. So the point is that one who is in a particular body, covered by particular modes of nature, and has a particular type of character, should not, how do you say, refrain from acting what's natural. The idea is to purify that nature. Everybody can say, well, I have sense desires, and those are natural for me. That's not the point. The point is that we have particular character, modes of nature that have covered us, and we must act according to that nature, but purify it. This is the process that Ramananda Roy is explaining to Lord Chaitanya as the means to attain the goal of life. Act according to the nature and personality you are, in such a way that you will be purified by acting that way. Who is the best example? At least one is the foremost. Arjuna was a householder, from the purport, and military general. Therefore, it was better for him to remain as such and perform his religious duties as prescribed for the householder kshatriya. Such activities gradually cleanse the heart of a mundane man and free him from material contamination. So-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord nor by any religious scripture. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. Work should not be given up capriciously, without purification of materialistic propensities. Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of an impure propensity for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so, through the prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. So Arjuna's proposal was, this isn't right. This isn't proper action for me to kill my grandfather and my cousins just for the sake of the kingdom. I better give it up. I better not do it. And Krishna is using various arguments to show him. He'll say later, you're going to be engaged in this activity. It's natural for you. So you can either do it under my direction and attain the kingdom, glory, fame, please me, everything's auspicious, heavenly planets, even if you die, you'll go up. But if you don't do it, if you neglect this nature and don't act according to your nature and my order, then infamy, other team will call you a coward, they'll think badly of you, you'll be lost, and you'll still have to act this way because it's your nature. So nothing would have worked for him had he neglected his own very nature. Later on in Bhagavad Gita, way back, that was from third chapter. Then way up in the 18th chapter, there's further descriptions. There is no being existing, either here among the demigods in the higher planetary system, which is freed from the three modes of material nature. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras are distinguished by their qualities of work. O chastiser of the enemy, in accordance with the modes of nature. Then he goes on to describe the different qualities. They're general categorizations. Just like in the free spiritual world, where the soul acts according to its sthayi bhava, its natural siddhadeha, then there are different types of personalities. Just like we read with Swarup Damodar when he was explaining the different types of gopis to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Heda Panchami in Puri, saying there's talkative ones, there's quiet ones, there's submissive ones, there's left wings ones, there's ones that are not, all kinds of people. And he gave the example of rivers flowing into the sea. Now the point is that all of them, every single one of them, pleases Krishna by her nature. But in this world, we have a tendency to like identify people, and Kali Yuga is really one of the features, the features and characteristics as these universal, as time progresses and the modes of nature work and the planets all spin in their orbits. There are different seasons to the universe, just like summer, spring, winter, like that. So there is Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, Kali Yuga. Characteristic of Kali Yuga, by the modes of nature manifest on this planet in this age, are that we are envious, we're jealous, we're arrogant. These are forced upon us. We're forced to think of others badly. So we saw this really far out clip that was sent on Facebook the other day. And it was an experiment in a school where the teacher, one day, she was trying to teach people, the students, it was first or second graders, third graders, she was trying to teach them about discrimination. It was an older film. It was from the early 60s, maybe late 50s. And what she did in order to get the kids to realize this was she said, I'm the teacher, and because I'm the teacher and I have blue eyes, then we should know that people with blue eyes are more intelligent and better people than those with brown eyes. So in our classroom, I see such and such and such and such. She picked out about five or six kids. She said, all of them have blue eyes, and therefore they're superior to everybody in this class. And I want everybody to know that. And you should all learn this, right? And then she started to put down the people with brown eyes. And she said, and the way that we're going to designate each of you is that the ones with the brown eyes have to wear a collar when you're here in class. And she had made these little cloth things like that stuck around the students. And it was fascinating to watch the character of these children who were placed in a position of inferiority according to the color of their eyes. You could see that their shoulders slumped, they became depressed, and she gave them various tests throughout the day. Then the next day they came back and she said, oh, today's a horrible day. I actually realized by seeing the qualities of the people yesterday that the people with the brown eyes are the ones who are superior. And she switched it on them. And she said, now I want everybody with the brown eyes and the collar to take their collars off and give it to somebody with blue eyes. Because now, today, we've actually realized that the people with the brown eyes are superior. And the people with the blue eyes are the inferior ones. And then she tested throughout the day. And one of the fascinating results of the tests was a simple math problem. As a group, the people who were inferior, the people with the brown eyes, the first day, it took them 4 minutes and 18 seconds to come up with the answer. But the next day, when they were the superior group, it took them only 3 minutes. It took them longer to learn because they were placed by society, by the class that they were in a lower position. And it was remarkable to see what is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness meant to do? Inspire one another in our love for Krishna. We could say that as a definition for what we're supposed to do. So when we self-analyze, when we relate with others, our contamination of the jealous, the arrogant, the anger, the different lower qualities mix in, and we have a whole chessboard of activities in Kali Yuga. When in actuality, what Ramananda Roy is saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying, what is the goal of life? How do you know the goal of life? The goal of life is to act according to your nature and to inspire others to act according to their nature, to develop love of Krishna. That's basically what he's saying. Now, Lord Chaitanya is going to answer in 59, Madan. Can you put up number 59? That's also the answer. And we should understand why Lord Chaitanya is going to say that. I read a few more of the qualities. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are qualities by which Brahmins work. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership, qualities of the Kshatriyas. Farming, cow protection, and business are the qualities that work for the Vaishyas. And for the Sudras, there's labor and service to others. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. And then he explains worshiping the Lord. But because we're going to emphasize this verse, you don't have to show the Sanskrit or the Bengali. The Lord replied, "This is external. You had better tell me of some other means." That's the one we wanted. Why is it external? It's external because, can anybody help me? Why is it external? Pardon? Exactly. It's all related to the modes of material nature and will be up until the point that Lord Chaitanya accepts it as, oh, okay, this is good, now go from there. Up until that point. Now, you can take the next verse, next week's verse, to offer the results of one activity is to Krishna, the essence of all perfection. And then he'll quote, yat karosi arashnasi, yajdahosi didasi, yat tapasi asikanta, yat tat karusva mararpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away and sacrifice should be done for Krishna. Why is that going to be external? Because it relates to this verse and this concept of Varnashram Dharma. If you look at it that way, it's external. If you look at it like the Bridge Basis, Madhya Soda, Yat Karosi Rasnasi, Nanda Maharaj, Sudam, Subal, the gopis, they're not external, but he's putting it into the context of this gradual progression. And therefore, he'll consider it external. Because it's dealing with the Varnashram system, it's dealing with the modes of material nature and people's character, and how they can purify that impulse through a process of Vedic culture. This is the basic idea and concept. Now, because tomorrow is Giridhar Pandit's disappearance day, Ranjahit, I think, will probably talk a lot about Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the Sunday feast, perhaps. So I wanted to read about Giridhar Pandit in one pastime where he didn't follow the prescribed duties for his ashram. Lord Chaitanya, on his way to Vrindavan, Paramananda Puri Goswami, Swarup Damodar, Jagadananda, Mukunda, Govinda, Kasisvara, Haridas Thakur, Vakrishra Pandit, Gopinath Acharya, Damodar Pandit, Ramai, Nandai, many other devotees accompanied the Lord as he left from Jagannath Puri. I've mentioned only the chief devotees. No one can describe the total number. When Giridhar Pandit started to go with the Lord, he was forbidden to come and was asked not to give up his vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Purport. When one takes Kshetra Sannyas, he leaves his household life and goes to a place of pilgrimage devoted to Lord Vishnu. Such places include Purushottama, Jagannath Puri, Navadvip Dham, and Mathura Dham. The Kshetra Sannyasi lives in these places alone or with his family. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers Kshetra Sannyas to be preferable Vanaprastha situation in this age of Kali. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya lived in this way, and he has also been called a Kshetra Sannyasi. That is a sannyasi who lived in Jagannath Puri. Giridhar Pandit had actually taken a vow, "I won't leave this holy place of pilgrimage." That was his Kshetra Sannyas. When he was requested to turn to Jagannath Puri, Giridhar Pandit told the Lord, "Wherever you are staying is Jagannath Puri. Let my so-called Kshetra Sannyas go to hell." When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Giridhar Pandit to remain at Jagannath Puri and engage in Gopinath's service, Giridhar Pandit replied, "One renders service to Gopinath a million times simply by seeing your lotus feet." Of course, we all know this story that Totu Gopinath was found by Lord Chaitanya while he was digging in the sand. And he unearthed the deity and they installed that deity, and Giridhar Pandit was the main pujari. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, you've taken the Kshetra Sannyas, you're the deity, you're the head pujari of the Gopinath temple, and you're leaving town. This is not approved by me. Go back and perform your prescribed duties. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you abandon his service, it will be my fault. It is better for you to remain here and render service. That will be my satisfaction. The pundit replied, do not worry. All the faults will be on my head. I shall not accompany you. I shall go alone. I shall go to see Sati Mata, but not for your sake. I shall be responsible for abandoning my vow and service to Gopinath. Thus Giridhar Pandit Goswami traveled alone. But when they arrived in Cuttack, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him and went to the Lord's company. For those who may not know, north of Puri is Bhuvaneshwara. Then after Bhuvaneshwara, there's a river called the Mahanadi. Then after that, on the other side of the river, is a town called Cuttack. Cuttack is where the kings used to have their forts and cities. Not Bhuvaneshwar, although Bhuvaneshwar is the capital today. Cuttack was at that time. So when they arrived in Cuttack, Mahaprabhu sent somebody to go find Gadadhar Pandit. No one can understand the loving intimacy between Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit gave up his vow in service of Gopinath just as one gives up a piece of straw. Purport. Just to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, Gadadhar Pandit gave up his life's vow to engage in Gopinath's service. This kind of loving affection can be understood only by very confidential devotees. Ordinarily, no one can understand its purport. Gadadhar Pandit's behavior was very pleasing to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord took his hand and spoke to him, displaying the anger of love. You have abandoned Gopinath's service and broken your vow to live in Puri. All that is now complete because you have come so far. Your wanting to go with me is simply a desire for sense gratification. In this way, you are breaking two religious principles. And because of this, I am very unhappy. If you want my happiness, please return to Nilachala. You will simply condemn me if you stay any more about this matter. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got into a boat and Gadadhar Pandit immediately fell down unconscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take Gadadhar Pandit with him. The Bhattacharya told Gadadhar Pandit, get up. Such are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should know that Lord Krishna himself violated his own promise just to keep the promise of Grandfather Bhishma. Quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, intending to make my promise true, Lord Krishna broke his own promise not to take up a weapon at Kurukshetra. With his outer garment falling off, Lord Sri Krishna jumped from the chariot, picked up the wheel, and came running at me to kill me. Indeed, he rushed at me like a lion going to kill an elephant and caused the whole earth to tremble. Purport. Lord Krishna promised not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra or even take up a weapon. But when Bhishma wanted to keep his own promise to break the promise of the Lord immediately got down from the chariot. And to make Bhishma's promise true, he picked up the chariot wheel and rushed forward to kill him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, similarly, tolerating separation from you, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has protected your vow with great endeavor. In this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya revived Gadadhar Pandit. Then both of them, very much grief-stricken, returned to Jagannath Puri, Nilachala. All the devotees would abandon all kinds of duties for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sake, yet the Lord did not like the devotees giving up their promised duties. All these are the misgivings of loving affairs. Whoever listens to these incidents gets the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet very soon. So we can see that there are progressive steps. And we're at the beginning, and by gradually following these things, one comes to love. One doesn't come to the platform of love capriciously or without being attentive along the way. Because the material world is such that it will trick one into thinking they're headed properly when they're not. Are there any questions or comments? Jack. The verse again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of varna and ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four varnas and ashrams.
Is this thing working? All right. That example that you gave of the school teacher and the and the putting the collars on them, and then raising that to Varna Ashram, I mean, it seems to me, that's why I'm making this comment, that if you put people in categories such as Sudra or something, and we all have a sort of fear of this, as the young boy, the children, then they will act that out. They'll become that. In other words, this story about you give a dog a bad name, that's what it'll behave that way. So, I mean, is there a danger that if you categorize people into these ashrams, that they'll just, you know, sort of subversion of whatever their nature may be? I mean, what would you like to say about that?
Certainly there is. Can you put up 1, 2, 13? In Kali Yuga, especially, as we've mentioned, this Varnashram system is not the prime duty. In a Vedic culture, when you're in a society and culture of people who are civilized and more or less in the mode of goodness, then they will enthuse one another according to their nature, rather than being envious or arrogant, depending on which end of the spectrum you're in. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of the body. The head is the Brahmins, the arms are the Kshatriyas, the stomach is the Vaishyas, and the legs are the Sudras. Now, by putting them into their categories, it doesn't mean that they are inferior. The legs are no more inferior than the head, in the sense that they work together to propel the body and make the body work. So in a elevated culture and society, all the members will work together to help one another. Just like the body works together, the feet carry, the hands do what they do, everything works together. He gave the example that what would happen if the Kshatriyas went on strike and the hand refused to feed the mouth, which didn't get food to the stomach. Gradually the body would die. There would be disturbance. Can you go down to the bottom of the purport? The 13. Maybe one more up. Ah, there, you got it. Up a little bit to the beginning of that one. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life, that is realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for Indriya Priti, or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before, the institution of Varnashram is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga, or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current. But the saner section of people know it well, that the divisions and castes and orders of life are... lost me. Anybody else? Of course. And high thinking, self-realization, and not for any other purpose. So the purpose isn't to artificially categorize someone or to put them in a position of inferiority. It's simply to give them a framework, understanding their particular nature. Like today's schools, they train everybody in everything when they're young. Rather than, I think Montessori school is a little bit different, the philosophy, the theory of education, Tomo I would know a lot more about this and different teachers, that the idea is to note a particular child's nature, like Braj Mohan was doing puja today to Srila Prabhupada. It's so beautiful. And you can see it's natural. Haribo, Braj Mohan, you did good job. So it's his nature, and he's being trained and encouraged in that way. Somebody else has a different nature. And if you can find that nature and cultivate that particular quality in the person, then it's a God-given gift, and it will be to his great benefit to use it, or her great benefit, and everybody's benefit. It's God-given. So the idea is to use that, rather than neglect it or say because it's in a category it shouldn't be used. No, it should be used, but properly. Madame Mohanpuru?
Along that same line, there's a prominence of an underlying goodness in all these activities of the Varnashram, that someone felt so happy that they could do something to help. So that there was a reciprocation that was going on that you were mentioning by the interaction of all the other people that were also satisfied by performance of their duties. You know, the rains were coming in the Bhagavad Gita mentioned. So everything was going on nicely. So people were just so glad that they could do anything. I can't do more than I can do because it's not my nature. But I can do something. And when I was doing that something, they were happy.
I think that was one of the qualities that Srila Prabhupada exhibited. He made everybody feel that their service was important, no matter how. Look at the example, I think we've all read in Leelamrita about this man. Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture at 26 Second Avenue, and a drunk walked in with some toilet paper or paper towels, and he said, "Just see how he's done service for Krishna." My God, what a vision. He's seeing everybody has a little something, a flower. He would say, even the poorest man, he was appreciating the lady in Radha Damodar, who was bringing water for the deities. Such a simple act, but done with love. That even the most poor man can offer some water and a flower. So whatever simple thing we can do is wonderful. But what we need to do is inspire one another in that wonderfulness. I think that's certainly a quality we can work on. Yamanas Prabhu?
Yes, thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. One question I have. I've heard that Prabhupada said that in this age of Kali Yuga, we're all sudras. So what do you have to say about that?
The idea in saying that we're all sudras, it's actually a verse in the Shastra, is that the qualities of the age, as we were describing earlier, are so low and influential that, practically speaking, like a Brahmin, we read, say, like in the story of King Vena, the Brahmins were so powerful and pure that they could chant mantras and kill someone, or churn a dead body to bring another person out of it. Nobody can do that today. It's not, the qualities aren't manifest. So that's what it means. That everybody's a sudra because nobody can perform those, what we would call miraculous activities, but at another time in history were common. The demigods used to come to the sacrifices. We read so many times that happened. They don't come anymore. Nobody sees them. They don't come and take part. So it's a different age. That's why Harinam Sankirtan is going on in Jacksonville Beach today. Jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.